Francis Leach with you for breakfast here on ABC Grandstand Breakfast. I hope your Saturday morning shaping up well. Our man Sean Callanan is the guru when it comes to all things digital sports media, and he's with us again today. He's got a bit of the sad face on as a Collingwood fan. His emoticon would be the sad face.
I'm not a big fan of emoticons, but yeah, it would be a sad face, Francis.
I've never seen you tweet an emoticon. But
I'm not an emoticon guy, but no, yeah.
You draw the line at those.
Draw the line at emoticons. You know, I'll leave that for my teenage kids.
Okay. It's interesting, the topic you're bringing up this morning is about how the sports media is changing the way we watch sport, particularly because of our access to digital and social media.
Well, yeah, it is just a little bit of, we were discussing it last week off air about how our access to so many different sports is changing, and then we've got so many different options. And it's really affecting the way that we consume media. If we look 20 years ago, it was we'd watch 5 days of cricket in summer and watch full games of footy and things like that in winter. But now we've got so much, we talk a lot about, the Premier League in the UK and the NBA, and we've got so much more access to those. But also, you know, we're not tuning in for the whole game. So there's a bit of a phenomenon called social TV, where social media is trying to drive and draw traffic and sort of the look at me mentality.
Is that where Fango comes from?
Oh,
I know you hate it, but that's an attempt to do that. It's a really ham-fisted attempt to do that.
It's a little bit of an attempt to do that. It's sort of try to trap the conversation is probably a good way of putting it, to sort of have these people talking about it to keep them engaged with the show. But probably more like it, the NFL probably started a little bit earlier with their red zone alerts.
Now, how did that work?
Well, effectively, because they have so many games happening at the same time and they've got all these people playing fantasy football, you know, they start with mobile alerts to say, hey, a quarterback's within 20 yards of the goal line, so there's a chance for a touchdown, there's a chance for a scoring play, tune in. So people would flick their TVs across. So it ends up, rather than sitting there watching a whole game and having the broadcasters, you know, tell the story and talk about the backstory and how some guy's come from college or he's coming back from a knee, they're just tuning in for that highlight package at the end.
Have they been able to track how effective it's been in switching numbers of eyeballs to tune into games once they've been directed and alerted via social media?
Well, the analytics for that is coming up. I mean, it's only still developing. But the NBA is doing the same now with, you know, they're using their Twitter account to point people to the League Pass to say, hey, guys, there's a hot game on. Durant and LeBron James are going off. 5 minutes to go. It's game on. Turn over. So one, it's getting people to tune in, and you know, a lot of people want to blame SportsCenter for that highlight mentality, but people are now only tuning in for the best parts of the game, whether it's generated by the leagues or whether it's generated by fans and, you know, their followers. If you're sitting there, and I know I do it at times, whether it's sport or other TV shows, if my Twitter feed starts filling up with, hey, you've got to watch, you know, Media Watch, or you've got to, you know, Q&A's going off, and that causes people to tune in. We've seen the same thing with sport. So it's really, you know, the way that the media is being condensed, you know, we used to be reading magazines and long form articles, and then they become digital articles, so they've got to be a bit shorter because you've got to read them on your mobile. Then they become blog posts, so they're shorter again. Then they're just sentences on Facebook. Then they're just tweets, or they're just Instagram photos. So they're becoming shorter and shorter in the way that it's being consumed. And so journalism and the way it's being presented back to sports fans is changing as well.
1-300-460-644. If you want to join the conversation, 1-300-460-644 is our number. Give us a call. If you are somebody who relies on your Twitter account or indeed Facebook or whichever social media you use to direct you to the sport you watch, if you see a flag go up on your phone that says 5 minutes to go, game on, do you tune in? And are you somebody that actually gets involved in letting people know about that stuff as well? And which sources do you rely on to direct you to the sport that you want to watch? 1-300-460-644. You can send us a tweet, hashtag grandstand. Are we sacrificing quality and analysis for simplicity and instant access?
Oh, definitely. You know, the days of, you know, Vince Scully is the famous Dodgers broadcaster, is still commentating, does it all by himself, is talking to the fan the whole way through the game. Gone are the days of those kind of guys, because, you know, the broadcasters are under pressure to produce those highlight reels, to produce those tapes. But also the sports are changing. We've seen it with T20, you know, that the longer form of the game isn't as appealing from a TV and a digital point of view, and so they're looking for shortened forms of the game. So a lot of sports now are even looking at, well, it's not just our reporting. We've got to change the game. So to go to a shortened form, you know, we've seen it with cricket. Hockey is experimenting it with, less players, bigger nets. Even harness racing are thinking about doing a one lap race, sort of 2020 style format for harness racing.
Does the horse have to wear coloured clothing?
Well, yeah, potentially it would be pyjama type racing, but you have to train, unfortunately. The horses can't say, no, I'm just a 2020 type racer.
You can't be the Chris Gayle of horses.
No, exactly, because they have to train differently. So, it's where is it going to end, really, is a strange one.
With this, are the sports organisations cottoning on and trying to own the conversation then? Is that what we're seeing here as well? I mean, are they trying to, because sports organisations are extremely mindful of their reputation and their image. Are they trying to own or shy away from the fans taking control of it like this?
Yeah, a little bit, but it's just another way for them to serve their TV masters. What they're seeing is the attention being spread, not one being other sports, other being gaming. 20 years ago, people weren't spending 20, 25 hours a week playing games. Sometimes people want to play as Tiger Woods rather than watch Tiger Woods, or play as LeBron James on the Xbox or the PlayStation than watch him. So they're competing against other things. So to keep the price of TV rights going up, the sports have to work harder at making sure the fans are invested.
Is anyone bucking the trend? Is anyone the vinyl record of this new digital age? You've decided that this is all well and good, but I prefer old-fashioned long-form writing and deep considered analysis over five pages of prose.
And it is quite strange that Bill Simmons, Sports Guy 33, who we've profiled and got a DigiSport medal in the first ep, he's actually taking it completely the other direction. He set up Grantland.com, which is dedicated to long-form articles. And it's even gone to the point where you can now get those articles in print. You can get the Grantland Quarterly and actually get a
journal
bound book of articles. So
he is the vinyl records of sports reporting.
He is, and there is an appetite for it. So it is just a matter of how it is presented. He's still using all the short form scenarios and Facebook and Twitter to tease the audience. But he might do, there might be 10 articles, and only the articles that you're interested in, you will invest in. So whether you're a Knicks fan, you read one about the plight of the Knicks, or if he does an article on the Red Sox, you'll tune in and read it, or you'll listen to the podcast. So there is a tendency to go there, and I think there'll be a lot of media partners looking at that model and going, how can we do it? It's still effectively a niche, but it's providing that same thing in a digital offering.
And in Australia, we have the Football Almanac as well, which is put together by John Harms and a bunch of other local writers who write long-form, considered pieces about Australian rules football. They're doing a cricket one as well, which is, more about a contemplative approach to sports reporting that you can take away and enjoy at any time rather than just getting the instant fix.
Yeah, exactly. And as more people start using that long-form on their iPads and their devices, it may become a bit more accepted.
Okay, what's on the podium this week in the digital sports world, Sean Callanan?
Well, this week we've got the NHL. Stanley Cup is heating up.
We love the Stanley Cup.
And we actually saw a tweet from the LA Kings. To everyone in Canada outside BC, you're welcome, after they beat the number one seed Vancouver Canucks. So thanks to, we actually spoke to Miles Harris of VancouverCanucks.com.au. He set up a site for Vancouver Canucks fans in Australia.
That's good going.
And he's doing a great job sort of telling people about ice hockey. So we've got a couple here from, if you want to be following the Stanley Cup, James Van Riemsdyk, or JV Reamer 21 from the Philly Flyers, is a player that's doing a good job. From a broadcaster point of view, we've got TSN Bob McKenzie, who's a bit of a hockey insider. He'll keep you informed of everything that's happening in the Stanley Cup. And I have to give the gold, because Miles is a big Canucks fan, obviously, to... Trevor_Linden, who's a Canucks god, who's now retired, but is obviously barracking for the Canucks and providing that perspective of a player from Twitter. So get behind the Stanley Cup. It should be exciting. The playoffs have just started.
The biggest trophy in world sport.
Oh, one of the best. One of the best. I've been lucky enough to actually have my photo taken with it.
Is it over your head when you stand up next to it? Does it sort of tower over you, the Stanley Cup?
And you can't touch it. No one's allowed to touch it. You can only touch the trophy if you've actually won it.
It's like Spinal Tap with Nigel Tufnell's guitars. Don't touch it, don't even look at it.
It's a bit that way. I might have to dig in the archives. It was about 15 years ago when the photo's there, so it's a much younger version of me, but lucky enough to actually have my picture taken with the Stanley Cup.
Great stuff again, mate. Where can we follow you on Twitter?
SportsGeekHQ or Sean Callanan or sportsgeek.com.au.